Christ. I'm glad that this morning that Brother James reminded us that that salvation is eternal, that salvation is forever, that it's not something that we get, and then if we don't take care of it real good, we'll lose it. Listen, folks, God will make certain that you take care of your salvation. That's the leading of the Spirit, and He's able to do that, and He does do that for the saved of God. Any of you that have had experiences where you got out yonder in left field and you weren't very close to the Lord, you know about this. You know how it is that God takes care of you, that He has sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise because you've learned, that's what you're doing here in church today, you've learned that when you get out in left field, the Lord has a way of bringing you back and encouraging you in salvation and lifting you up out of the miry clay and resetting your footprints and your footsteps so that you walk and talk and serve Him again. I'm glad He does that. I really am. Without that, I would certainly be lost, and you would be too, because we are kept. How? By the power of God. Kept by the power of God. We got a lot of folks today that claim to be Christians that are thinking that they've got to keep themselves saved. Oh, that's a bad place to be, folks. It's a bad place to be to think that you, a frail human creature, must keep yourself. We are kept by the power of God. That's the great part about the salvation that is in the Lord. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John chapter 6. We want to read verses 25 through 29 from the 6th chapter of John. Our message this morning is means, motive, and opportunity. John 6, beginning in verse 25. This is a really great portion of Scripture that I think Brother James and I both love dearly because verse 29 says so much to us that we can't help but go back to it again and again. But we want to preach from all of the verses, and looking first at verse 25, and when they had found Him, Jesus, there was a big crowd looking for Him. They got interested in Him all of a sudden yesterday. When He made a few loaves and a few fishes to feed thousands of folks as He was out there teaching. They got interested. And so they were looking for Him. When they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, I want you to notice in this verse, in verse 26, that Jesus doesn't tell them a thing about how He came where He was at when they found Him. Because He knew what the important subject was here. And He knew it wasn't how He got over there. But being the Son of God, He could have gotten there by any means imaginable. And that wasn't really critical. What was critical was the answer that He gave them. And what He said here in verse 26, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me, not because you saw the miracles. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? And I'm going to have something to say about that in the introduction here, about how people really are drawn to the pizzazz that goes on when something stirs up the masses, when something exciting happens. People get excited and get interested. But Jesus says to them, you're not seeking Me because of the miracles that you saw Me do. But He says, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Mark that phrase down. That phrase tells us so much about human nature that very often we run right on across it and miss the great truth that it teaches us about how we as human beings in the flesh normally act and do and think. Then verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth. He stops them up short, doesn't He? Look at that. I know you came because you ate of the loaves and were filled, but don't labor for that kind of food that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God. I want you to notice that as carnal as these people were, as driven as they were by the hope of getting another handout, that they still understood that Jesus was talking about something to do with the works of God. Otherwise, this question would not have come out of their mouths. Wherein that they said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Now we could preach on that last verse all morning, but that's not really going to be the focal point of our subject. We want to try to focus on what the people were up to here as they sought out the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him that first question. Now it seems that charisma and notoriety was as effective back then in Jesus' day, effective as an attraction to people in those days as it is today. Because that's what that was all about. They indeed were interested in the next loaf of bread because He made it obvious that they were. But what was it about the next loaf of bread that drew them to the Lord Jesus Christ? They could not have missed the fact that He created it out of thin air. And so the charisma showed forth there in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the excitement showed forth, and the notoriety that He got that day by feeding those masses with those few bits of produce and bread, he got notoriety from that. Now, if we look back in chapter 6, the one that we're reading from, we find the same people our text is talking about chasing Jesus all over the area trying to catch up with Him. There's a little bit more back there in previous verses about how they went looking for Him here and there. They knew instinctively where the handouts came from, folks. And you might say, Brother Martin's kind of looking at that kind of narrowly there to bring out the fact that they knew instinctively where they could get a handout. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ plainly points out that they came not because they were saying, whoa, what a miracle He performed. He took those few loaves of bread and those few fish and He fed those thousands of people. Oh, wonderful miracle from God. They didn't say that. They said, man, it was great to get a good supper yesterday. Let's go find that guy and get some more. He plainly points that out. And so, as we look at them, we know that they knew instinctively where the handouts came from. And as it turns out, humanity hasn't changed much in 2,000 years, has it? It hasn't. Now, I don't mean to lambast humanity in general, but folks, we know that the human nature is depraved at best. And the works of human nature, even we that are saved by the grace of God, when we work things out in the human nature of ourselves, they're always twisted, always perverted. And we're always looking to get something for nothing, if you will. We're always looking for that. Listen, I'm not gonna steal my thunder all at once here, but let me just say this about that statement. I know where there's something for nothing from you. And that something is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can have that for nothing. It's free to all who will come. But listen, I want to remind us that it's not free. Because it cost our Savior His very life. And all of the pain and all of the agony that He suffered at the hands of men. But worst and most of all, the agony of punishment and being separated from His God and having God pour out His wrath upon Him for your sins and for mine. What an awesome punishment. What an awful experience to go through in order to make salvation free for every one of you and myself who will simply take of the water of life freely. Take it freely. That's what's free for us. But we find that humans still find themselves today drawn by a crowd, excited by somebody who has the power of attraction that showmen have nowadays. They're still drawn and attracted to where something unique is going on. Folks, I want to tell you something. Today, there are a bunch of mega churches that have their pews literally filled because they've got all this stuff going on. Oh, yeah. And right after church, there's going to be a big video contest in the fellowship hall. Right after church, there's going to be a big volleyball game outside on the court. Right after church, we're going to have a big feast and we're going to see this big movie about this or that. They've got stuff going on and they're filling their pews. And how is that? Because humanity is still looking for the wrong kind of excitement. Just like those folks were there in Jesus' day. Everything was exciting because this man had suddenly produced a bunch of food for everybody to have. And so let's go find him again, they say. Now, we find that as people always are, then this crowd was curious and they were superstitious. They couldn't figure out how and when Jesus had gotten to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And that's the first question they had for him. How'd you get here? That was their concern. They couldn't figure out how he slipped by them and got over there without anybody hearing in the news about how he'd done that. They apparently were speculating maybe that somehow he'd managed to get over there, although they hadn't been able to see him do it. They speculated that he'd used something somehow to get over there and totally escape their suspicious and viewing eyes. Maybe this Jesus guy used magic to transport himself. Hey, more excitement for what was going to take place today. Here we are. We found this magician. His name's Jesus. And he's going to do something else. Didn't he just like pop a rabbit out of a hat yesterday in the form of hundreds of loaves of bread and a bunch of fish? Oh, he's a magician. We've got to go see this. I'm talking about how people get all excited about the unique, the different, the things that stir the hearts and minds of the carnal creature. And so, whatever happened here, this crowd wanted to know more about the guy who'd given them a hearty meal and made it happen using just 5 loaves of bread and a handful of fish. They wanted to know more. But more than that, I remind us by taking us back to Jesus' statement, they just wanted another handout, didn't they? And they'd come for that handout. And Jesus warned them, you're looking for the wrong thing. And folks, I want to tell you something. Handouts are available all over the world today. I know that we're one of the most handout nations on the globe, but they're available somewhere, everywhere, all the time to people who are looking for handouts. And people tend to just be magnetized to those places where there's handouts. Well, we have a handout this morning, folks. We do, but it's not the kind that appeals to a hungry belly. It's the kind that appeals to a soul who is starving to death. To a soul who doesn't know where to go to get the fullness of soul that their soul hungers for. We have a handout. The free offering of Jesus Christ, the Savior of men. That's what we have. And listen, there's nothing better. There isn't anything better at all. And we can hand out the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can save people by, we can't, but God can save people by our preaching of the gospel. And when we do that, we give them food that they know not of, and food that fills the spiritual soul, and they go to a place where they'll never hunger and never thirst again, just as Jesus promised. You're there if you've been saved. Yeah, I know. before we have our lunch in the fellowship hall this afternoon, some of us are going to be hungry. I already am. But that's not the kind of hunger that he's talking about, the Lord Jesus is talking about when he said, those that believe in me shall never hunger and they shall never thirst, is it? That's not the hunger that he's talking about. The body is going to be hungry when it comes time to eat. And sometimes when we don't need to be, we're still hungry. But the soul, saved by the great grace of God, never has spiritual hunger and never has spiritual thirst of the kind that existed before salvation again. Now, you know that Jesus wasn't talking about how we just want to get more of the things of God as children of God. He wasn't talking about that. Because he spoke about a blessing coming to those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. But he was talking about the hunger and the thirst for eternal salvation that came upon us at the place and time that the Holy Spirit dealt out that powerful blow that we call the new birth and brought us into the kingdom. That was hunger time. And we experienced the filling love and power of God, and it didn't cost us a dime. Now, whatever these people were drawn by, and Jesus made clear one of them was made very clear to us, we noticed that the crowd had hunted him down by being persistent and then getting in some boats and going over the sea to find him. Now, people, listen, folks, I'm building a case here about humanity that I hope you can get to on this. People usually find a way to satisfy their curiosity and to get to an event if they want to badly enough. I've never seen anybody that wouldn't figure a way to make it happen if he wanted to do something bad enough. I've heard about people saving up for months and weeks and years even so that they could go to Disneyland. They'd save several $1,000s and take the kids to Disneyland, and nothing would stop them from reaching that goal, and they'd stick that money in that cookie jar until they could go to Disneyland. Now, I've heard about people hitchhiking all the way across the country just to see an aunt or a mother that they hadn't seen in years. And nothing stopped them. They sat by the roadside with the thumb out for hours on end in order to get across that country where they could be with Mama or with Aunt Rita or somebody. And so people have a way of satisfying their desire, their goals, their curiosity, if they want to. You can hold a county fair and have a magic show in it, and people that want to come to it will figure out a way that they can get up enough money to pay the gate price and get in there to see what's at the fair. You can send out a notice to people that people can come to a certain place and get free stuff, and they'll find a way to get there. They'll figure out how to get there one way or another. They'll walk, even today. Some folks will walk to get stuff if it's offered free. Where there's a will, there's a means to accomplish it, folks. And this sets the stage for a first point. People have the means to do all those things. And listen to me, people have the means to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. People have the means. You might say, well, Brother Meyer, they can't come except they be inspired by the Spirit of God. Listen to me. People have means to seek out Christ wherever they are and whoever they are. If you're here today and lost as a goose, I got a secret for you. You have the means to seek out Christ. And you might say, well, I'm not particularly interested. There goes the means. Because if you're not particularly interested, you've 86 to every means that's possible. But people have the means to seek out Christ. The first thing that we see about this is that people have their own faculties to seek out Christ. You might say, well, they can't seek after Christ if the Holy Spirit of God doesn't give some kind of inspiration. Oh, yes, they can. Oh, yes, they can. I'm not saying they do. I'm saying they can. They have the capability. All of us learned in fourth grade the difference between can and may, right? And so, we find in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts an account by the Apostle Paul of getting in the midst of a bunch of infidels on Mars Hill and beginning to preach. And in that portion of Scripture, the Apostle reveals to us that every human being has an awareness in his soul of the existence of the mighty God and of the creative power of the mighty God. And that is enough to give a man the means to start asking questions about the mighty God. Listen, if you start asking questions about the mighty God, guess where it's going to lead to? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so the means exists. God has given human beings the capability of being aware of the things that's going on that he's got a handle on, that he owns, and that he moves by. God has given every human being that ability. In the first chapter of the book of Romans, you read the same idea. God has given mankind the ability to be aware in his own personal self with his own faculties. No, you don't need some extra spiritual oomph in order to show you that God is. You know it if you're a human being. You do. And so, there's the means. Also that we find that there are possessions that every one of us have that themselves are a means to seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody here got a cell phone, or most everybody, at least the family, has a cell phone. Guess what? You can take that cell phone and go to the internet and find all kinds of Bibles that talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can find all kinds of messages that men have written and put in blogs that talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got a computer, you even have an added advantage, being able to access the World Wide Web fully there and see all kinds of stuff that tell mankind about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's another means. We've got possessions. You can get in your car and drive to the local church and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get on a bicycle if you don't have a car and ride to the local church. Possessions. And hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can walk. Possessions. God gave me legs. And hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Possessions are another means for having access to seek out Jesus Christ. Now let me just ask all of you a question. If everybody possesses the means to seek out Christ, why don't they? I can answer it in one statement, and it'll suffice because there's a lot of Bible for explaining why. But the real down-to-the-earth condensed answer is they are dead in trespasses and in sins. That's what's wrong. Dead. And dead men lay still and do nothing. They don't pray. Heart doesn't beat. They don't open their eyes. They're in a casket. They cannot, do not move. But even in that dead state, guess what? Romans chapter 1 still applies. And so does Acts 17. And so that's why God can say, hey, if you're a human being and you have the capacity to think, I've given you a brain that's able to think, you are without excuse before God. That's why God can say it. Because you got something. You've got the means to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's all kinds of things that we could classify as means. There's help from others. Every one of you, including me, had something said to us about the Lord Jesus Christ before we were saved. Were we really interested? Probably not. Until the Holy Spirit of God bombarded our soul. But as soon as we were told something about the Lord Jesus Christ, We were responsible because we suddenly had another means for seeking the Savior. Whether we used it or not is another question, but we had the means. Now, so we find that mankind has the means, just like these folks in our text had the means. They jumped on a ship. They walked around looking and asking questions until they found out where Jesus was at. So it's certain that they had a means to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, and they found him. But it's also certain that these people had a reason, what we call a motive, to look Jesus up. We might have thought that it was showmanship that would have attracted them, and as I've already brought that up at the start of the message, you stand around and watch a guy create hundreds and hundreds of loaves to feed thousands and thousands of people, and hundreds of fish out of just a couple of fish. You're gonna be interested in that amazing miracle. And so it would look like that a miracle, that amazing feat that he performed, would be the trigger for them. But Jesus says it wasn't. It was because they wanted some more bread, wasn't it? And he didn't mention in that statement that you're not seeking me because of the miracle that I performed. You're seeking me because you want to see me work magic again. He didn't say it that way. He said because you ate the bread and were filled. In other words, that's the Lord Jesus' way of saying it's all carnal. You were looking for me because there was something carnal in it. And listen, folks, warning, there are a lot of human beings across this world this morning that are seeking out the things of Jesus Christ from carnal motives, from carnal attitudes and carnal objectives. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, you sought me because you ate the bread and were filled. But we know they had a motive. So people may have a motive for seeking out Jesus Christ. And as you think about anybody who starts practicing religion or doing something that you call, gathering with the saints of God or going to church or getting baptized or whatever, when you see this begin to happen, you realize that here's a person that, whatever it is, developed a motive for getting near to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's means, I've already enumerated, and there's motive. It's too bad that the folks in our text were driven by the wrong motives, but if there'd been a spiritual thought in their heads at all, folks, they could have found a number of important motives for seeking out the Lord Jesus Christ, something that carnal man rarely does, only when inspired and powered by the Spirit of God. But if they'd had a spiritual thought at all, they would have been able to think of a number of motives, spiritual motives, for seeking out the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some obvious motive for why we would have a reason to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that those motives are not always pleasant to think about, but I'm going to present them, a couple of them, a few of them right quick, so that you will think about them. First of all, there's the motive of what I call the fact that today is all you have. What a motive. How many of you, all of you that know you're going to be alive tomorrow morning, raise your hand, please. Oh. Nobody's raising their hand. Why is nobody raising their hand? Because we all know that by tomorrow morning, we may all be gone from this earth. And so, the fact that we today, right now, have the opportunity, because this is all we're guaranteed, because today is all we have, that's a motive. Now let me ask everybody here, do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if you don't, let me just say this again. Today is all you have. That ought to be one of the central most motives for why you need today to consider where you stand in relation to God. You know, we treat life a lot of times it's like it's been going forever and ever and ever. And the younger we are, and I don't mean kid young, but I mean young adults are the world's worst about treating every day like, oh, it's just going to go on forever and ever. I'm going to live forever. I'm never going to die. And that's the biggest mistake that adult human beings can make, because I can promise you folks, every single one of us are right on the edge of traveling down the road of death. I don't care how old you are. It's a reality. And what a motive it is. So ask yourself the question, okay, let me just postulate, that sometime between now and dawn tomorrow morning, I'm going to die. Taking that thought, isn't it time to consider where you're going to spend eternity? I think it is. And I think you need to think of it seriously, because what I just illustrated might be a reality with you tomorrow morning. Now, so you are dying. What a motive it is. It is appointed unto man once to die, says the Scripture, but after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And so, it is appointed. We don't have too many appointments we can be absolutely certain of. You can make an appointment with a doctor and you can end up having to cancel it. You might not get to go. Something might come up. But this is an appointment that is absolutely certain. It is appointed unto men once to die. And that should be this awesome motive to think about what is your relationship with Jesus Christ and with God right now. Is it sealed? Is it certain? Is it in Jesus Christ? That's the question. Here's another motive for why men ought to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. God is angry at sin and sinners. You might think, well, I'm cool. But, you know, you might be lost and think, it's all cool with me. But it isn't. God is angry. Not only with our sin as lost sinners, yes, He has made peace with the sin of those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that passes understanding is ours simply because Christ paid the sin debt. But for the lost sinner, He's angry with the wicked every moment. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who know about Jesus Christ and still go on in their unrighteousness. It's one thing to be totally ignorant of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's another thing altogether to know that Christ died that men might live and go on in your unrighteousness. Two different things. But God is angry at sin and sinners, and we ought to see that as a motive for seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's another that I've been harping on the whole time, and that is that Jesus Christ has created a route of peace for you to get to God. No excuse for having enmity between you and God, because Jesus has created a route whereby you can move to a place of peace with God. And that ought to be a motive. Who would be interested in Christ who had not prepared a way for us to find the peace with God that we can find? Nobody would be interested. You see a big sign on a storefront that says, all items on sale here, 50% off on some, 90% off on others. Prices slashed to the bone. And you run off down to the store, and you run into the store building and look around. There's not one single product in the room. You wouldn't be interested in staying shopping, would you? And it's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you that Christ has slashed the judgment price of sin to zero for everyone who believeth. Zero is what the price of sin will cost you if you've trusted Christ. If you will trust Christ right now, the price of sin that God must charge those with who will not accept Jesus' payment of price, the price of sin becomes zero for you, for me. So Christ has created a route where we can find forgiveness of sins, peace with God, eternal life, eternal rest, rest forever in Christ, and that ought to be a huge motive for us to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about that in our text, these folks were involved in some very self-satisfying things, and we realize that they apparently got some real incentive by that full belly to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that for the human creature, easy street is the good street to live on. And it's easier to ignore and not deal with your sinful self than it is to bring your sinful self up short and say, let's face it, I'm a sinner. And I'm worse than that, a lost sinner. It's easier just to go on, float along through life. And one day, it'll all be over, and you won't have a thing to enter eternity with by which you can defend yourself before God Almighty. That's the problem with that. But you know, people have been seeking Jesus for centuries for different reasons that are real similar to these folks who came looking for him across the sea. They've got some other motive for seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a big stir. And the big church down the road is inviting everybody to come. And they've hidden $10 bills under the bus seats. And we can go and maybe I'll get one. Or they're having a big lunch afterward. Or they're having a big movie that's free. Or you can go down there and join that church and you can use all their recreational facilities at no cost. I mean, there's always something that's a big stir that attracts people to, and I'm going to use this in parentheses, in quotation marks, to seek Jesus. But all those things are just like these folks here, where Jesus says to them, you didn't look for me because of the miracle. What he was saying, you didn't look for me because you knew I came from God. You looked for me because you got your belly full. All those things that men seek after Jesus about that are false, that are human born, are of that kind. Maybe people seek Jesus because all of their social associates are doing that. Oh, it's the big thing to make a profession of faith and get baptized. I mean, there's a myriad of reasons, folks, for why people claim to be seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and really are seeking Him the same way the folks in our text were seeking Him. Now, here lately around Benton County, we've got this I Love My Church drive going on. And if you've driven along some of the roads down here in Benton County, see these right on the front of the road, you see these little signs, it's like a real estate sign that says, I Love My Church. I love my church. You have that. I love my church. Let me tell you something about that I love my church, folks. And this is all about seeking, in quotation marks again, seeking Jesus that is so farcical, it's a shame. I know for a fact that more than a few of those houses where they have I Love My Church sign on the front yard, they don't even go to church. What gives? Why, it's the big racket. It's the big noise. It's the get something for nothing. It's the get excited about what's going on. That's what it is. They're seeking Jesus. Again, quotations. But what's the motive? What's the motive? The motive has to be, folks, I need salvation. And He's the only one that's got it. When we seek Him that way, then we're seeking in the right way. Now, when we seek the Lord Jesus Christ, we find out that there's always an opportunity. I said my message was means, motive, and opportunity. There's always an opportunity for seeking the Lord Jesus Christ as long as the body you have breathes life. As long as that lung keeps functioning and that heart keeps beating, there's opportunity to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. This crowd had an opportunity to seek Him. They went looking. They found Him. Now, what are the opportunities? First, there is just now for every human being on this planet a stay of divine execution and judgment that God is withholding. God is withholding the judgment against the wicked at this hour. You're here alive and able to walk this earth because God is withholding His judgment. That's an opportunity. It may not be here tomorrow, but it's here today. And then there's another opportunity maybe we don't think about. And that is that there is life in your body right now by which to act in seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned earlier, it's appointed unto men once to die, and that death waits for every one of us. Well, right now, you and I are alive. And if we haven't sought the Lord Jesus Christ before now, right now, while we are alive, it is an opportunity from God to get busy. We invite you to do that. And then in America, I can say this openly, there's another reason, another opportunity that we have, and that is right now we have time to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have freedom of movement and freedom of asking questions about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some countries today, Christians have to hide, and they don't get out much and be able to get out the gospel message. And people are left in darkness out there on the street because Christians can't move about. And people that might seek the Lord Jesus Christ are forbidden by law to do anything called Christian. But here in America, we have an opportunity because we can move about. We can ask questions. We can go to church. We can seek out the things about the Lord Jesus Christ that give us a better understanding of who and what He is and how He's able to save. Now, we also want to notice that contrary to popular gospel efforts, Jesus didn't encourage the kind of seeking done by these people. Going back to our text in verse 26, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth." He didn't encourage them. I think we've got a religion, Christian religion, around America today that encourages people to come to church. Don't matter what your motive is. I'd like to see people come to church. I love it when folks come to church. I welcome them back. I want to see them again. But listen, I'm not going to say, "Hey, let me tell you what all we're going to do," and then go into a spiel about things that have nothing to do with worship of God, nothing to do with the things that would save their soul. Why, that's wrong. To offer up to people something that's recreation or something that's excitement to get them to come to church. I've heard people say, doesn't matter how you get them there, as long as you get them there, everything's cool. No, it isn't. You get people to church on false pretenses, next thing you know, they'll see through the hypocrisy of it all, and they'll follow the worldly direction. They will, because they can. If a church offers a worldly, recreational presentation, guess what? Lost people will choose that. Yes, they will. And they'll lose sight of the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice also that people with wrong motives for seeking the Lord Jesus Christ will stop when the truth comes out. When the very preaching of the truth begins to be sounded abroad, we find that people will reject that truth unless God saves their unworthy soul. In the book of John, again, back to chapter 6, if you go down and read verse 37, Jesus began to preach some really heavy doctrine. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's the crowd sitting there listening. And then he says in John 6:44, no man can come unto me except to be given to him of the Father, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And all the crowd sitting there listening are going, what? And oh, you can just almost feel the hearts begin to harden when everything about men being able to come to Christ is in the hands of God. Did you know that your coming to Christ was totally in the hands of God? Well, we've got a bunch of Baptists today that are saying, now, I know they're not saying this, folks, but I like to do this pantomime because it so expresses the doctrine they hold for. As the Lord's walking around wringing his hands, wishing, just trying his best to get you to think of coming to him. And he'd just give anything if you just give in and come to him. That's what a lot of Baptists today are preaching. It's wrong. Let's see Jesus preach two doctrines. Oh, by the way, remember, this is an apostle. It's not an apostle. It's not some teacher. It's not some lately come preacher. It's the Christ of God says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And folks, it's all in the hands of our God, and I'm glad it is. Because if it was left in your hands, you'd reject him. Wouldn't you? Yeah, amen. We'd reject him. We all would. If it was left in our hands, as Brother James taught this morning, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. Well now, if I'm an enemy of God, I'm not going to say, hey God, come on in, man. I want to receive you as a welcome guest into my heart. No. If I'm an enemy of God, and Holy Scripture says that in the carnal state I am, if I'm an enemy of God, I'm not going to say, hey, come on in, Jesus Christ. I welcome you with open arms. No, I'm not. But if God draws me, folks, I can't wait to allow the Lord Jesus into my soul and heart. And I am ready to receive. God does something wonderful when he speaks to your soul. He comes with power and makes us willing in the day of his power. That's what he does. So in verse 65, Jesus goes on with his sermon. He says, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And there's all that crowd listening. Hey, I thought we was going to get some bread. Where's the bread? He's up there yammering and talking and preaching. He's Bible thumping on the left. Where's all the bread? I came to get a free meal. And there he is preaching. And guess what happens? Look at verse 66. That's what happened. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Listen, folks. the human creature cannot stand leaving everything to God. If you're here today and have gotten the idea that, well, you know, God's going to step away from me, I'll make a decision for the Lord when I'm ready. No, you won't. You'll never make a decision for the Lord, and you'll die and split hell wide open. And the reason you will is because the carnal mind is at enmity with God, and it cannot perceive or understand the things of God. It's foolishness unto him. And that's why the Bible is so careful to preach what Brother James taught about this morning. Repent and believe the gospel, because God can tell every lost man, woman, boy, and girl to repent. And you know why he can? Because they're unrepentant. If they were repentant, they'd be saved. Paul tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe somewhere around chapter 6, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented on. And so, we're going to be unrepentant until godly sorrow gets hold of our soul. And when it does, then we can have repentance. Gift of God. The godly sorrow is God's gift to us when the Holy Spirit comes and says, you're a sinner. You're going to die and be judged of God and cast into the lake of fire, and except you repent and believe the message that God has sent us of his Son. And that message is so plain. Now this crowd missed it in our text. They wanted bread. They were out for filling the bellies again. They knew there was a handout there. But they missed which handout was really free. And that's the handout from the Lord Jesus Christ of salvation. Full and free from his hand. And all we have to do is just believe the message that God has given us. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I can tell you this, every one of us here, I don't care whether you're lost or saved. If you're here and lost, I care whether you're lost or saved, but it doesn't matter whether you're lost or saved. This message to you, if you're lost, right where you're at, right now, this second, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, behold, thou shalt be saved. Now, you might not tell anybody for a while. I'm not saying you will. I'm not saying you jump up and run up front and profess it before the church and everything. Lord will lead to that most of the time around here. But I'm not saying you'll do it today. But I want to tell you one thing. There's no constraint to you being saved if you trust Christ. Now here's my conclusion. Listen to me, it's going to be one long sentence. Despite sufficient means to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, despite some very positive, very sound, very driving motive to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ, despite abundant opportunity to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ, some people will not use their means, nor their motive, nor their opportunity, and they will not seek him at all, and will not accept that there's an opportunity right now to trust Christ. Some people go right on through it all and they reject this opportunity, this means, this motive that God has given us all. Or some people will do a really, really shameful thing. They will seek him like these folks did in our text for the wrong motive altogether. Don't seek the Lord Jesus Christ if you have a motive other than the salvation of your soul and to glorify the Savior who gave himself for you. Don't seek him because there's bread to eat. Don't seek him because You can get notoriety and fame and fortune if you join such and such a church. Don't seek him because it's the popular thing to do and all your friends are joining the church and making a profession of faith. Don't seek him because it'll give you an up in the world finances or get you ahead. Or don't seek him because all your fellow workers expect you to be a Christian. Don't seek the Lord Jesus Christ for any of those reasons, but seek him today as a Savior while he may be found. That's our message.